We have decided to come together to form a new vision community because we realize that the way contemporary American society is shaping our lives just isn't working. And people electing to change the way they are living need a support group, need a place to make this transition from a life which is devoted to consuming and amassing goods and focus on individual only, individual betterment, to a focus on community, a focus on conserving the world, loving the world, and a focus on fulfillment, not in a materialistic way, but in a spiritual, loving community way. So those are our purposes in a philosophical sense. Our practical purposes are to provide affordable housing for people who want to do this so that you don't have to be chained to a mortgage where all your energy is going into paying the bank, but you can be free to have time, money, and energy for the work that needs to be done in the world. And also you can come home to a community where the struggle to do that can be supported and where the transition from the life we now find ourselves living can be made in a context of love and community and support. So that's our overall purpose, to talk about the physical layout and how we're actually going to live together. I want to introduce our member, Jane.
Architect.
Yes. We have a rough architecture sketch here of what we're going to build. Now, we talked a lot about combining privacy with community. And what most of us are looking for is a place of our own with a small apartment, including a small kitchen, but also a lot of community space. And Marjorie will tell you more about how that will work. But here's our outline. These are different units. These two over here are like townhouses. So some lucky people get to have two floors. You see, we have first floor and second floor. And there are in all 10 units. And each of these units, we don't have any walls in the middle of it. Okay, those, it's kind of a preliminary sketch. But they're apartments. So you all have at least one bedroom. And some of them will be up to three bedrooms. Well, one bedrooms, two bedrooms, and three bedrooms, depending on the size of your family, with a small kitchen. Because, of course, we also have the common area with a kitchen here where we will sometimes eat together. Marjorie will tell you about that at round tables, because they're so friendly. Here's the library, and a quote from you. And so we can have books in common, and of course a seating area, because our community meetings will also be held here. This will also be the place for daycare, because we'll have retired people that will be like grandparents to the children, and so the tables can be moved aside, and this will be an area for a multi-purpose area. We also have a common area outside, because maybe it's going to be in California. I said in Minnesota, we don't have that much use for a common area unless it's screened in for the mosquitoes. In the summer, we'll also have gardens, of course. Anyone who wants to will have a garden, because it's going to be very ecologically sound. Somewhere there will be solar panels and things like that. We didn't, like, have time to work out all the details. So, laundry is common, too, in the facility. That's important to me. You don't have to go to the laundromat. And so I think it'll be a really exciting place to come.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the community part of this and how we intend to make this happen. We really want it to be a place of enrichment for the people who live here. We want to conserve resources so that we can spend our money and our time in other ways that are more productive than most of us spend it at this time. We want to be open to all ages because we all have wonderful things to share with one another. The children so new to us from God, and those who have trotted the earth for a long time. We want to establish a place where we can share our skills, where we can teach language to one another or teach each other how to create embroidery works or make candles or whatever skills that we have. We want a place that is there for that to happen. We also want to share resources. We want to have a library where we can put everything together. Any communal thing that we can do that creates a feeling of community and brings us further or closer to our purpose. We want to conserve the energy, which I think I just said, but the kitchen, in each apartment, there will be a kitchen for those who like to cook and make cookies and give them away. But there will be communal meals every evening. We hope that people will go together and buy the food in bulk, which also conserves. These are going to be optional as to whether people want to use those, and whether we pay a cook or whether we do this by a potluck thing, the people that come together to create this community will decide that for themselves. But twice a month there will be a mandatory meal where people need to be there, because the organizational meeting will happen after this time. And we will discuss the issues that are relevant, what needs to be done, who's taking care of the garbage this week, and who's raking the lawn, and to make it a functional part. And I think that's it.
Okay.
It's
going to
be wonderful.
Tom, a question.
Yes, sir.
I understand these tapes are available to buy.
That's right.
Well, it would help us, it would help me, if the person giving the report would say, I'm Susie Smith from Seattle, and then, because, for instance, I'd like to be in touch with the person who had the idea about the exchange with the Spanish family, because our church is doing something along that line right now. So when we got the tape, that would give us some knob on which...
Yeah. Share your name and your location. And who would like to go next? This community thing, I might just add parenthetically, we really need some new models of community. And this is something that's within reach of a lot of us, singles and marrieds, olders and youngers.
We'll go next.
Hello, who likes to party?
Tell us who you are.
I'm killing time as I prepare. My name is Laurel Lemke, and my co-partner in this endeavor is Joanne Kratt. And recreation happens to be my profession, but I didn't think about that when I chose to work on creating a cross-cultural celebration for the kingdom. And so we are going to call this Kingdom Comedy. And we were concerned, we were going to start this out in the Puget Sound area, because we're going to get it cooking in our neighborhood, and then all you people can start doing it in your place. We're going to identify the cultures we have in our community, and those included Filipino, Blacks, Northern Europeans, you've heard of those people, Japanese and American Indians, Chinese, whatever. We're going to pick a good date, and we think that June is a good time, about the second Saturday in June, second Sunday. Eventually, we'd like to see this be a Friday holy day, holiday that everybody will get to take off. And what do you like to do when you have a celebration? Everybody likes food, right? Okay, but we're going to start out with a solidarity meal at lunch. Rice, something simple, and then we're going to have the food in the evening. And if you pay for your food, it's going to be about twice what it will cost, so that as you buy your meal, you're buying a meal for someone less fortunate who's coming to the program and is not able to afford that. This is not going to be too different from some of the entertainment's not going to be too different from Folklife Festival. How many have been to that in Seattle or something similar? We'll have entertainment, which will be singing and dancing. And we also plan to have video recording, so this can be broadcast to people who are homebound, maybe people at nursing homes, whatever, who can't get there. And we want to do everything. We can't just start simple. We also want to have an outreach to disabled, alcoholics, sexually abused, all sorts of special needs people. And we want to invite them, and we want to challenge people to contribute to this organization, these organizations. One way to do this is to have 5 or 10 churches grouped together. I personally find that the Folklife Festival in the Seattle Center gets overwhelming. There are too many people, you get lost. So we want to get it into smaller groups. And one challenge we'd like to have is that out of this celebration, people will not just be celebrating, but they will pick up some cause to work on, whether it's supporting a shelter, which is short-term or crisis, or contributing to literacy in the area, or to present development for the community culture. And one of the things that can happen is with these projects, we might end up creating jobs for some people who don't have jobs to carry these projects out. We want to get community leaders involved, and we're going to use it like the Folklife Festival as a model. And this could be a way of celebrating Pentecost, right? Because Pentecost is about this time of year. And again, spreading it out so not everybody in the city has to come in one location, but it's in different places. And as part of the celebration, there'd be a chance for people to have communion, baptism, whatever. And we're not going to restrict this just to the Christian community, but open it to Buddhist, Unitarian, Jewish, whatever's in the community. And that's our start.
Okay, good stuff. You know, there's so much divisiveness in society. The possibility of bringing people together with their food and dance and music from different cultures could really be a witness.
That's a big job. Mm-hmm. We'll go next.
Okay, you're on.
Right.
You want to go first?
Now, one of our purposes today is to break down your stereotypes. So there are two things we want to do. First, we're gonna read here what it says. Retirement years, creating new ministries for older adults. Okay, that's pretty good statement. The other part of it is we want to break down the stereotypes. So we're going to try, and we're going to try to come up with some things that us old folks can really do. All right, thank you. Just a minute now. All right. Give me a B.
B.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a T.
T.
Give me an S.
S.
Bats.
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 Bats. We call ourselves the Bats.
Bats.
A.
T.
S. Befriending, assisting, teaching seniors. Befriending, assisting, teaching seniors.
Bats.
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 Bats. Bats frequently befriend. Reading to the blind, volunteering as babysitters, phoning people who live alone, serving as grandparents to needy children, and delivering tapes to shut-ins. Bats often assist as builders through Habitat for Humanity, as letter-writing lobbyists through Bread for the World, as publicizers of activities for seniors, as assistants in nursing homes and senior centers, as helpers in daycare for children or adults, and by helping young adults adopt a senior. Bats sometimes teach the Bible to children and youth, or they teach their field of special expertise in churches, schools, or communities. Bats are seniors, so if you consider yourself a senior, join Bats. Use your talents and gifts. Become a befriending, assisting, or teaching seniors. Join Bats today.
Bats! 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 Bats!
This is Howard Pitts of Seattle.
Who wants to? We got two groups left. Who wants to go next? You guys get the bat cleanup.
That's an impossible act to follow. That was just great. We sort of had a hard time getting off the ground, and what I see now as I listen to other people is that what we came up with was an idea that's really very modest, but I think. Just as important as any of these other things in its own way. Because what we're trying to come up with is a way to change lives which sounds very grandiose, but we also feel like we need to start kind of with ourselves. And what we've been learning this week is how to think in new ways about simplifying and celebrating. And our mandate here was to come up with a project or a way to put these ideas into motion to both simplify our lives and to celebrate our lives. And so we didn't quite make it to an acronym, so that we're sorry we can't do anything like that for you. We came close, but we didn't quite get all the way.
And your name is what?
My name is Jean from Seattle, or from Bellevue. We came close. We were working with the idea of circle, and only we couldn't get quite all the letters in. I mean, celebration and community are the two C's, and lives. Changing lives is CL, and I mean, we were just sort of working on it, so maybe you can help us with that afterwards. But the idea is that we would get together probably once a week as a committed interim community. You guys are talking about a full-blown community. We are not ready for that yet. We decided that we need to have some kind of a place where we can come together to learn in a committed and accountable way to change our lives. And so we plan to meet once a week and prepare a meal together with a specific purpose that we're going to make it a simple meal, that we're going to free up just the resources for that meal that otherwise would have gone into feeding our own selves, so that maybe it's only a couple of bucks each for that night. That's some money that's freed up, but it's sort of symbolic. And then we're going to share time together to begin to explore our lives and open our lives to each other, and learn to be vulnerable and willing to be accountable to each other, so that we can find ways to help each other to let go of some of the things we cling to that make our lives too complicated and cluttered. One of those things that some of us could immediately identify that clutters and complicates our lives is television. Mm-hmm. And another thing that complicates many of our lives is the obsession with having the right clothes to wear. And spending so much money on looking right. And there are many other things that we would be able to identify and help each other through prayer, through the celebration of a simple meal together, and freeing up some resources. And eventually, hopefully, we could learn how to commit some of these resources to a project that we would agree on that would reach out to the community in some way.
Okay. There's very little conversation going on in the church about changing our lives, creating lives that are more festive and celebrative, and where we free up our resource. We tend to take the cultural agenda as an unquestioned given with all the demands that makes on our time and our money, and then following Christ is something out the leftover. So I hope your group does form, Jean. I hope you guys get together for that weekly meal, and if it's in Seattle, let me know, I'll join you. Okay, our final group. They're racing to the front, all three of them.
I know, I was waiting for that bell to ring. My name is Karen Keelan, I'm from Federal Way, Washington, and our purpose was to build community for couples and singles in the church.
Oh.
And first of all, we kind of rejected that title because we believe that nobody has community in the church, at least a lot of churches, and ours is one of them. And, I mean, our particular one in Arbor that I go to. So we started looking at the structure of the church. We considered throwing out the whole thing altogether, and that seemed a little practical.
May not.
But we were concerned that people were not... didn't know each other in the church, and you came to church on Sunday and it was like an entertainment. You watched it and then you went home and you didn't know the people around you, behind you, three rows up. And that we relegated all of our responsibilities in the church to the pastors. If we needed someone to work with young people, we hired a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. If we needed someone for seniors, we hired a senior pastor. And as an individual in the congregation, I had no responsibility whatsoever to do anything except maybe show up on Sunday And if I didn't, no one cared one way or the other because nobody knew I was there anyhow. So we kind of poked around about how we could change this. And we kind of thought we should have a pastor as a theological, kind of isolated down to more one pastor being a theological expert. And then having, these could be pastors or lay people, in charge of different portions of our community, like a spiritual leader, a community leader, an educational leader. And hopefully these people would not be the sole program. Mm-hmm. These people would be someone who would come to you and say, Marjorie, we need you to teach a class. Can you get something going? They would not be doing the entire program themselves, which is what we kind of tend to do with pastors now. They would just be kind of the nags that would come around and poke at you and try and get you involved in the different activities. And then we started talking about early communities, and we talked about pioneers and the way they had communities, and that they came together to share their talents and their needs. If someone needed something, the other people got together and helped them out, and it was an exchange. No money changed hands, as a general rule, but everyone felt that they contributed because sometimes I'm taking and sometimes I'm giving, and so I never feel like a poor person or a downtrodden or someone who needs counseling or something. We were concerned that people, if you always took from the church, that you never felt a part of that church. Yet at some point you needed to also be able to give in order to really be a member of the church. And people who are strong and never feel like they need to take, needed to take it sometimes as well. We kicked around a lot of ideas about how to get that kind of community back in the church, and we came up with about a dozen different ideas of things to do. One of the ones that we kind of centered on was having small groups that would meet together, and this is some of my idea, you can't blame this on them. I thought maybe at the end of a church service one day we could divide people, like when you went in you picked a number out of a hat. And these numbers, at the end of the service, we would all get together, and like all the number ones would define one of these small groups that we're going to meet. Our focus, or our acronym we were going to use, was called LIFT, which was Living in Faith Together.
That's good.
And so you can congratulate Laura for that. The rest of us were kind of like, a lot of fun. And so that would define our groups, know each other. I don't know, maybe we'd have several meetings depending on how people felt, whether they felt comfortable enough. Eventually we would get to the point where we were going to have monthly and or twice monthly meetings to like go to each other's homes and have a potluck and get together and just talk about whatever, possibly have a devotion. One of the things I thought also was maybe we could get together in between a social meeting and have a social responsibility meeting where we, for example, somebody needed their fence painted and we all went out and painted the fence together or something. I know I've worked on projects like that where actually we painted our church down in Klamath Falls, and it was incredible how close we got in just the 4 or 5 days in the summer working on this project. So I think it'd be good to have both social occasions and work occasions, and you know, we could probably get ideas on those occasions from our social community. I don't know. We have a social ministries group in our church that has a better idea. But I haven't quite figured out how we would keep that from being people always giving and people always taking, doing the same role. I haven't quite worked out how that would work.
Yeah, that might just happen organically too. It might just happen on its own.
That's what I was hoping.
I think for singles and married, everybody, something like this makes a lot of sense. You know, and I think most of us need to be in some kind of a small group structure.
Tom, may I say what's happening in our church? We have what's called Dinners for Eight. We sign up for 3 months potluck. There are eight of us, old, young, bring your children. We meet for 3 months in each other's homes. Then they switch. You put your names in a hat again. And so far, it's working out very well. We're in our second round right now.
Monthly, once a month.
No, don't try to overdo it. Once a month.
Okay, good, yes.
I had an idea this morning about one of the topics that we didn't have a group for, about creating some transition from Holden back.
All right, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, but give us your ideas.
We have a session tomorrow.
Yeah, I have one sometime tomorrow morning.
Wow, good.
Does anybody?
Yes, I think you do.
I think it's at
you
10.
You do.
10:30. Right after.
Yeah. Okay. 10:30. Anyway, we're going to talk about reentry. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, please.
Well, my idea is to form groups at some point here in Holden, maybe geographical groups, and particularly for people who aren't going back to a support system.
Right.
And get to know each other a little more intimately, a little more personally about the struggle that you're in trying to change your life. And then communicate. Maybe have a central person that you communicate through that pulls all the letters together and sends out a newsletter to the 8 or 10 people. And stay in touch and support each other.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think there needs to be a strategy. Because your life here at Holden is so unique, it's so different, and an individual or a couple going back themselves after they've been here for a month or a year or, you know, a decade, there's no way they can begin to create on their own what you have here.
You walk into a vacuum.
Yeah, you really do, and the pressures are so great to kind of slip back where most of the rest of us live. And so there needs to be some plan, and so one of the things we're going to talk about tomorrow is cluster reentry. That whole idea of getting people together by geographical locations, and helping them develop strategies ahead of time. So I understand that Central Lutheran in Seattle is kind of a place where Holden folks hang out, and so one of the things is helping develop strategies. A cluster reenters into Seattle, gets connected to Central Lutheran, with a pretty clear agenda of what they're going to try to accomplish. It could be some of the ideas we've talked about this morning. But just having kind of alumni graduate or people transition back without a plan, boy, you're going to get eaten alive.
One other thing on the take it home, while you've got time to take advantage of this, Jan Nairn Resource Center, incidentally, I have a number of resources in the Resource Center about group formation within congregations. There's also a number of resources on that within the village that I'd like to be able to point you to. Two people resources you might want to talk to. Al and Sarah Pitcher, who have been involved in the formation of a residential community in an urban setting in Chicago, and would probably like to talk to you about it. And also Dan Erlander, who is here, who founded a group which kind of acted like a base Christian community within our congregation in Albuquerque. And I've got some also print resources that grew out of that experience.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
That's just across the hall, is it?
Yeah,
down
just
the hall.
Down here by the library.
So resources, wonderful to know the resources. How do you guys feel about your ideas? You worked about an hour. How do you feel about the ideas you came up with? I think you came up with some great ideas. You see, that's why I insist that one of the greatest untapped resources in the church today is our imagination, our creativity. There are very few times in the life of the church where we're invited to use our imagination and create new possibilities for ourselves or for the church. Even when people do planning in our churches, there's very little creativity loose. It's just kind of doing a little bit more of what's familiar. There's very little openness to the new.
I think it's one of the problems that was pointed out, that we expect the ministers to do it all.
That's right.
And they don't always tap the resources that are present there. It's the people.
Well, not even aware of the resources.
That's right. Well, let me ask you guys, which of these ideas kind of take your fancy that you would like to think about some more or maybe explore some more that you've heard, maybe a group you participate in, maybe something that you heard this morning? What are the groups?
Number one, especially in Eugene, because we have a real Hispanic problem.
Well, and I think the communal living, too, really excited me because there is this available at a high price in retirement residence and so on, but it doesn't always have to be retirement, but the high price buys it for you. The low-priced person has no place to go.
No place. And you see, with a little imagination, small turning financing, you can build, in this part of the world, three-bedroom, two-bedroom units for 40,000 a unit and a multiplex dwelling. Mm-hmm. And if you can find alternative financing and do that, you know, over a five-year no-interest loan, and I think that's possible. Take some look at it. Get somebody that's got some money, let you use it for 5 years, and they just give up the interest. Then you have the possibility of starting to free some people up instead of the outrageous amounts. And I think the next generation's coming on. I gave the boomers a hard time the other night, the 77 million of you guys, but I don't think they're going to want to go into retirement communities with all people all the same age.
No.
No.
I don't think they're going to be happy with that. So I think what we're going to see and what we need to birth are new cross-generational communities, less expensive housing, alternative financing, the kind of thing, it's within reach. The problem is nobody's doing it. The co-housing movement in Europe is the closest thing where they do it there. And they actually design the structures. I have an article I brought down with me where they actually have rooms in adjacent houses where you share a wall. And so as your kids grow up and leave, then you close the door and bolt it on your side, and it becomes a room for the family on the other side where their kids need to start spreading out. And you have some kind of financial arrangement to cover that. But you have a lot of flexibility. And you do have the, in the European model, they do the child care and common meals. What they do in the model I read about in Denmark, every couple cooks once every 2 months for about 75 people. And those that want to share in the meal, it's like 90 cents or a dollar, about the price you pay here for the meal. And it's not obligatory, but a lot of people do it.
Are you familiar with the community on Vashon?
No. Terry Hershey's thing?
No, I don't think so.
Where is it?
It's on Vashon Island.
Oh.
I don't know. What's the name of it?
It's a living community. Well, I was hoping you would know because I've forgotten. I actually visited it several years ago, and people live in separate homes, which they help each other build.
Was it Wesleyan? It was a Wesleyan group that came out from the Midwest a few years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. Also.
I just know a little bit about it.
They have all their, they have meals in common, they have a right. common garden.
Mm-hmm.
They go, some of them stay in the communities to work within the community, others go out right. and have jobs out. It seems to be working really
well. Well, Alvin Toffler talks about enclaves of the future in his first book.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the agendas that for the church in the 90s must be to create enclaves of the future, new models of what it looks, what the kingdom of God looks like. Not just a single model, but multiple models. What I'm interested in doing is a model is drawing upon the past. I've mortgaged my house to buy some land up on Camino Island, and I want to build a Celtic prayer retreat center, something that looks very much, captures the spirit, not a replica, but captures the spirit of a 7th century Irish monastery. Circular compound with three circular residences, a common building, and a high tower, as a place not only for contemplative life, but and a lay order kind of thing, but training young people in contemplative living. There's no place where people can go, particularly on the Protestant side of the street, to be, you know, to really develop their spirituality and learn that whole approach and ecologically designed. And so I've been playing with these kinds of imaginings for a long time, and now I'm into some land, so, you know, if I can find some money, I might do it one of these days. Yes.
You know, another thing that we really didn't address, but I think is maybe in the back of all of our minds when we think about community models is difficult people.
Mm. Oh, mm-hmm.
The old devil.
It seems to me that there has, you know, in any planning, there needs to be some planning right. for how you are going to prepare to live with one another when
sure.
when that becomes impossible.
Well, and you have that's true, and you have to learn how to deal with conflict. You also have to decide what your purpose is. I've worked with a lot of people who are trying to start communities where they're trying to minister therapeutically to people who are really broken and really yeah. and devastated in-house, and then they're trying to work out-house too. You can't do both. You have to focus one way or the other, because if you're working with badly damaged people in the residence where you're living, that's all you're going to do. That's a ministry in itself. So you need to develop some criteria as to what you're coming together for, besides just good chemistry. But we're starting to see the birth of some new communities again. Some of them, though, are beyond the reach. They're common purse lifetime commitments, like Bruderhof or Reba Place. But the kind of thing you guys describe, that's within reach. People could do that. People could uh-huh. do
it. Is there any kind of coordinating group that could act as a resource? I mean, you're talking about resources makes me think of this. If mm-hmm. there is some kind of clearinghouse for birthing communities.
Well, you know, I think Holden needs to be that clearinghouse, quite frankly. That I just, you know, I don't have any connection here, but I'd just like to give you guys something else to do. I think it would be a wonderful idea, and I've already talked to Scott a little bit about it. There was a few years ago something called the Community of Communities, which was an informal network of Catholic and Protestant groups, And I was at their last meeting. About 700 people came together from all over the country. Wonderful montage of different folks and different kinds of communities. But it's kind of come unglued. And Holden isn't quite a community, but you have the wonderful resources you've been collecting. You've got a place where people from different communities could come for renewal. You've got a place where you could hold meetings in the wintertime when you're not overbooked to bring people together from different groups. This would be a great place for people that want to start communities to come and learn from others who are doing community. And you really are a different group anyway. I mean, you're a community of sorts, different from others.
I think what you say is very good, but you should come back to the well to
okay.
be fed in order to, sure. to continue to have vigor.
That's right, and I think this could be the well. So just something for you guys to do when you're running out of other things. Okay. Any of the other ideas that take your interest, that as you listened, as you talked, as you created, any of the others that particularly caught your fancy, that you'd like to think about some more?
They're all good.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's lots of good stuff, but I'm just curious. Sounds like you're actually going to do this with your kids.
Well, I hope so.
Okay.
I hope I can okay. get going.
Okay.
The sounds smaller groups is interesting me because I think what happens in the church happens in the small groups.
Right. I was in a small group for about 6 years, and that was the center of
yeah.
my renewal. I'm trying to find one again, and it's not always easy to kind of put that together, but I think we all need that.
Yeah.
Wherever we are in life, we all need that.
How soon are these tapes available?
I don't know. Unless he can talk back over the system, I think we'll have to just go ask him. So, I would just encourage you, in terms of what we've done here today, to not only think about following up and praying about some of the new ideas, because there are some exciting ideas in what you guys have shared, but think about doing a creativity process where you live and work, get some friends over, have some nachos, get some larger sheets of butcher paper than we had, and just take one area. It might be the cooperative housing model, and just getting a group of friends together for an evening, and taking the idea as far as you guys have it now, and just invite people to eat nachos and try to expand that in a specific location. The more specific you can make the creativity task, the easier it is for people to kind of work on it, whether it's a small group, you know, in a church in Minneapolis, or whatever you're doing, it really helps to make it specific. Thinking about a specific group in terms of lifestyle change. If you're going to work just with young married folks getting started, and you had a curriculum, what would the curriculum look like to help them consider some other possibilities for simplifying life, for celebrating life, you know? So I would encourage you not to let this be the last time, but only the first time, and spend some time individually and with other friends in brainstorming and using the imagination that God has given us. I think you might be amazed at what might come out of that. I think that we're just about at finish time. Tomorrow at 10:30, you tell me, we'll be coming back together. And we're going to be talking about building bridges back home. Some of you are heading out today. We have people heading back to downtown Minneapolis this afternoon, yet. Wonderful downtown Minneapolis. Some of the rest of us are going to have to stay and endure the mountains for them. But we're going to talk about how to take everything that we've been learning and hearing at Holden and how to connect that back to our lives. And we're going to talk about reentry. And we're going to talk about active listening. There's, how many of you go on prayer retreats? Okay, well, we're going to talk about the importance of prayer retreats. I think every couple, at least twice a year, for focusing, and we're going to suggest a way to do an active listening process during prayer retreats to try to help us connect with what we sense God is saying, what God is doing. So we'll see you back, whoever wants to come, tomorrow.
We'll be here.
10:30, and we'll build the bridge. Oh, by the way, the bookstore asked me, they don't want to get stuck with these, and I don't blame them. They make wonderful door jams if you've got a door that keeps swinging shut. And some people use them in the bottom waste paper basket, something to look at when you throw stuff in.
Are they in a discount material?
I don't know. You can negotiate with them. They're designed as study books to help people find a very clear, direct way to link in last chapters on creativity with God's purposes in their lives. So it's designed to be used in small group study with questions at the end of the chapter. So if your church is looking for a book, why settle for more and miss the best?
Is Holden familiar? Are you familiar with what the Lilly Foundation does in small groups, prayer retreats. We've been very active in the Lilly Foundation.
Well, I'd be interested in seeing the materials. I'm going to stop by the bookstore.
We've benefited by them. Yeah. They wonder
but they publish materials.
Could we just stop with a word of centering prayer and just center down quiet and quietness for a moment and thank God for the creativity and kind of dedicate our lives to whatever God's calling us to? Creator God, we thank you for the beauty of your creation here at Holden, for the gift of one another, and for the wonderful gift of creativity you've placed within us. We pray in these days, as we work at Holden and as we leave Holden, that you will continue to stir by your Spirit in our imaginations, helping us to imagine all kinds of new ways to create with you new possibilities for our lives, our church, and our world.